Booyah! First word out. How you guys feeling tonight? That's lame. How you guys feeling tonight? Thank you. You're in middle school. There's more to offer there. So we're jumping into a new series to kick off the year, and I'm really excited about it because it's so cool because we get to look at three different characters and look at their encounter and the way that they came across Jesus and their meeting of him and all that surrounded that and how Jesus completely flipped their lives upside down. And so that's what the next couple of weeks look like. So before I jump into that, I just want to kind of kickstart us off, help us all get on the same page, just about the mix. If you don't know who I am, my name is Greg Joyner, and I'm Ephesus pastor over the mix and the foundry. And so you'll see me here quite a bit if you're new here in 2016. But I'll be here in the mix quite a bit. And so what we do is this. We come in here, we sing, we play games, and we talk about God's word. We mature in the faith. We proclaim Christ, and we give our lives away. That's our mission with FSM. And so after this, what happens is we all move as a unit over to the Learning Center, most of us, to small groups. And all of our small group leaders are in here. If you guys don't know that, if you don't have a leader, if you're new, we're going to hook you up in the back at the end of this thing. So for those of you who've been with us all last semester for your first semester, a couple things you'll see different tonight. You'll see Marty and his team in the Learning Center. They're around tonight. We have a security team around campus. You might see those guys around tonight as well. And so just wanted you guys to be aware of that, some of those changes as well, okay? Our one rule, one word in the mix is really simple. It's really, really, really simple. It's respect. And so in this room, respect who's on stage, respect your leaders, and most certainly, above all, respecting the property, the Learning Center. Guys, we're in rooms that have lots of toys and randomness all over the place. Just make sure that that is also a place where our kids and our church and our family comes together on the weekends, that that stuff is there, and it's just like, you know, you found it when you got in there tonight. Leave it the way you found it, right? So just respecting our property and all the rooms and that. And so just wanted to kick us off on that. You guys cool with that? On the same page? All right, I love you guys. I just have to say those things because I want us on the same page. So I don't know if you guys are into reality TV very much. I mean, it obviously is a rage these days, but there's a lot of TV shows on, a lot of maybe the final season of American Idol. There was the X Factor back in the day, but one of the shows that's been on a lot in the past few years, it's kind of gained a lot of momentum, is America's Got Talent, right? Oh, yeah. So one of the things about America's Got Talent that makes it a little bit different is, all right. Is that it brings in a lot of different talent. So it's not just a singing show. So thank you, The Voice, for choosing people based on their voice. But we would actually like to hear if somebody's kind of funny, or maybe they know how to set up dominoes in a creative way. It really doesn't matter. If you got talent, bring it on in America's Got Talent, right? So let me show you a picture real quick of just kind of how it rolls. You guys know this show. There's four judges, right? You cannot have a talent show without a judge. You're going to get judged. Like, that's the purpose of being on a show, to get judged, okay? So the next photo, it's pretty simple. It's basically what happens is when you come up and you're a comedian, which is why my wife and I like it. We found our favorite comedian on there a couple seasons ago. But, man, you come up on there, and one by one, you know, it's either a yes or it's a no, or it's one of those moments for everybody on stage when they get that. And it's not a real fun moment for most of them, because if you get one, two, three, four of those, it feels like you're probably falling through the stage with embarrassment, right? You don't get run off the stage, but it's just one of those deals. America's Got Talent, you always get judged based on your talent, right? So if you think about that, some of us, myself included, even over the holidays, in our lives, sometimes we feel like people are doing that to us. Sometimes we even feel that way somewhat about God and our relationship with Him, that maybe He's always kind of hanging out over the buzzer, waiting to buzz us when we mess up. All right, it's not an if, it's a when we mess up, because we all mess up. We've talked about that, right? So some of us feel like that, maybe with your parents, maybe with your friends, and even in your relationship with God, you feel like He's waiting on you. Oh, you messed up. You can't get rid of all the junk in your life. Your parents, there's no way you're going to be cleaning up all that mess and all that junk in your life. And that is the way some of us feel throughout the week, every day we wake up, that somebody's waiting to judge us or bring in the buzzer into our lives. So what we get to do tonight is we get to open up the Word, and we're going to see a man named Zacchaeus. And I'm telling you guys, when he meets Jesus, everybody in the crowd is expecting Jesus to look up and go, like running start, on Zacchaeus' life. If there's anybody who needs the buzzer, it's Zacchaeus. Don't forget that. So as we look at this story tonight, I want you to have an open mind and open heart about what's really going on with Zacchaeus. And here's where the Bible becomes real. If you think about the situation he's in, you also got to understand it's a situation that you and I find ourselves in very, very often in life. The question is how does God view us? And does he really love us? Or is he just hanging around waiting to every time we mess up? Over the holidays, my guess is a lot of you guys had some free time. Somebody messed up. That's often what I remember in high school and middle school. When my rhythm was off, you have a lot of free time, you go and do stuff. You hang out, you go places you don't go during school, and man, you get into some different things at home. Maybe you're home alone, you get into different things. You're going out with your friends, you're doing things you shouldn't be. There's all kinds of opportunities. And so some of you guys are bringing that in the room tonight, wondering if God is looking at you going, you know what, you just need to clean all of that up before you even come to the mix tonight. If you were just a little bit cleaner, I would really like a better future version of you. It's kind of what some of you guys maybe even feel like tonight, right? Now, one of the privileges of my role here at Fellowship is every summer I get to take a group of anywhere from 20 to 40 students to a different country, to Peru. And I'm telling you, every year I experience the same thing year in and year out with these students. It is absolutely amazing. When I take students to Peru every summer, they encounter something they have never encountered before, and I try to prepare them for it, but there's no way possible. They encounter something called unconditional love. Okay, so here's the deal. They walk into a different culture with a group of people their age, and they're literally accepted no matter who they are, no matter what addictions they have, no matter how much they've messed up already sexually with a boyfriend or girlfriend, no matter how many drugs they've done, no matter how they're treating their parents, it doesn't matter. When you go to Peru, every student I take is absolutely blown away by the unconditional love they experience and face every time, myself included. I almost feel like I'm not worthy half the time to even be there. The photo you're seeing right now is the moment on every trip when I look around and I'm like, these students, we do not know what unconditional love looks like until we experience it. And this is a moment on every trip where literally our students, myself included, we come undone because one by one, the Peruvians, who we've built great relationships with, don't get me wrong, but they go around and they literally take a basin out and a towel and they begin to wash our feet at the end of the week. And you guys know how feet work, especially when you don't wear socks, for some of you. And you're walking around Peru, which is very dusty, dirty, right, and dry. It's not a pretty sight. The showers are so cold, you don't really shower a whole lot, okay, myself included. And these moments right here, it doesn't matter how much junk's in your life, what you've done. They're loving you unconditionally. And that is a feeling, I'm telling you guys, that will absolutely flip you upside down. Everything flips upside down when you know you're loved. If you don't catch anything else tonight, if you don't see anything else in the life of Zacchaeus, remember this. Zacchaeus' life, my life, your life will be flipped upside down when you realize you are already loved by God. What do you mean loved? I mean not like you think in our culture. Like, I love you all the time. I mean unconditionally. Loving you because of who you are type of love. You don't have to earn it type of love. You don't have to work for it type of love. I love you because of you type of love. It will rip your heart out type of love. So when we look at this story tonight, I want you guys, again, to keep an open mind and open heart on how does, this is what we do every time we read a story. We ask three simple questions. What does this say about God? What does this say about Jesus? And what does this say about me? And that's basically what I'm going to do tonight in just eight verses, or nine, potentially, right? Okay, check it out. If you have a Bible, I'd love you to turn to Luke 19. If not, I've got your back. It's behind my back. It's on the screen, okay? Luke chapter 19. This is a story of Jesus and who? You nailed it. You nailed it. It has two C's, by the way. I wrote it down 100 times this week, and every time I was like, what? Or typed it in. Luke 19, chapter 1, watch this. He entered Jericho and was passing through. Who is the he? What does it tell us about Jesus? He's going through Jericho. If you don't know anything about Jesus or the Bible, guess what? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when you open up, you find that Jesus is typically on the move. Check out this verse from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent. There's a lot of sending in the Bible. Did you know that God has also sent you into the world? He also sent his son into the world. And as we look at Jesus all throughout the Gospels, there's a lot of sending. So you'll see as Jesus entered so-and-so, as Jesus went through, as Jesus was passing through Samaria, what's he doing? Well, let's find out. He entered Jericho and was passing through. He's just cruising through, right? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. So now we're going to ask the question, who is Zacchaeus and what do we know about him? We're just going to observe the text. Watch this. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So a couple things we pick up right off the bat. He's a chief tax collector. He was rich and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. All right, so check it out. Very simple. What do we learn about Zacchaeus? What do we learn about Jesus? Well, Jesus enters Jericho. He encounters a man named Zacchaeus. We don't know what that encounter looked like just yet, but we know three or four key things about Zacchaeus already that give us a really neat insight into his life. He is not only a tax collector, he is a chief tax collector. He knows a lot about collecting of the taxes, okay? A professional collector of the taxes. If you got taxes, he will collect them. Does that make sense? All right. The next thing we know is that he did it so well that he became rich, which probably means he did it in a very crooked way. So he's really good at telling you how much you owe, and actually that number is way more than you really owe. So he even go to the poor, take money from the poor, and keep it from himself. He's a tax collector, he's very rich, and he's small in stature. Unfortunate for him, right? Come on. He's not going to be in the NBA anytime soon, is what we just read, okay? If any of you guys connect with this story as I do, this was part of my story, is always being limited by my height, being seen and judged by my height, which is going to come up later in the story, right? Well, he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature, right? Every time I read that, I think of my experience at Disney World. I'm like, at a parade, I'm like, dear God, I can't see anything. I can never see the floats because I'm like three or four rows back, right? So I put my daughter on my shoulders. I'm like, how is it? Everything cool? That is how I experienced parade. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming through. He knew that this man was coming through, did not know anything about Jesus. He was very curious about Jesus, so curious that he ran ahead to get a good spot for the parade. You with me? So those of you who are vertically challenged like myself, you know what's going on here. You get the right spot when the parade's coming through. He climbs up in a tree so that he would get a good view of who Jesus is, right? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Man, you got to catch what's going on here. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Verse 6, so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. All right, so they, all right, big they, all right, the whole crowd grumbled. So here's what I just learned about Jesus. I did not know that Jesus knew his name. Did anybody read that? Nobody knew that, right? Jesus coming through Jericho sees the tax collector up in the tree, calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come down, not only calls him by name, but he says, hey, I need somewhere to stay tonight. I'm actually staying at your house. The whole crowd is like, what? So what Jesus has just done is he's come in and found the most despicable person in the crowd, the hardest one to be around, and he chooses to call him by name, to see him, to accept him, not based upon anything else but who he is. And he wants to dine and literally stay the night over with Zacchaeus. Does anybody find that as profound as I do? If you're in that crowd in that moment, you're going, uh-uh. And it's exactly what they did. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. All right, now before we read Zacchaeus' reaction, I want you to see this slide right here. There's a slide up here that has like four lines on it. And I want you to know just a brief description of what I would observe as what Jesus did. Jesus didn't ignore Zacchaeus. Jesus called him by name. Jesus didn't bring up his past. Jesus invited him into a new future. So watch this. What Zacchaeus might be feeling in that tree is this: oh gosh, Jesus, don't call me out. Or even as he's looking at the crowd, Zacchaeus might be feeling, are they going to beat me up? Right? Is anybody going to call me out? Are they going to drag me to the streets and start beating me up because I've been taking all their money? He's feeling all of that, and that's what happens in your life, man. When you're feeling shame, when you're feeling fear, you're isolated, you're lonely like Zacchaeus. He's not there because everybody loved him. He ran ahead. He got alone. He's isolated. He's an isolated man, and he's wondering what the reaction is going to be of the crowd and Jesus, and Jesus values him. Jesus sees him and calls him by name. There's nothing more endearing than to call someone by their name. When someone calls me Greg, they know who I am. It's a pretty cool deal. So what happens in Zacchaeus' life? What we're learning about Jesus here is very, very huge in terms of what it means that God loves us. Watch this. This is how we're going to end it. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. As Jesus passes through Jericho, he sees Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. He brings him. He says, he didn't ask him, can I stay with you? He says, I must stay in your house tonight. And the reaction of Zacchaeus is this. He joyfully came down from the tree. With joy, Zacchaeus came down from the tree. So if you find yourself like Zacchaeus coming out of the holidays, look at me, every one of you. If you find yourself tonight in a position going, I'm not really sure if God loves me. I'm not really sure if I can clean up all this mess in my life. I have a lot of junk, even from the holidays. I'm not really sure how God feels about me right now. I want to remind you what Jesus does when he sees Zacchaeus, the worst, most despicable person in Jericho at the time. He literally stole from the poor. Jesus called him down out of the tree, and Zacchaeus' reaction is that he joyfully came down because God, Jesus, has now accepted and shown him love without condition. When that happens, your life is flipped upside down. When you understand how loved you are by God, by the love of Christ, your life will be flipped upside down. This just happened to Zacchaeus. How do we know that his life is flipped upside down? He gives it all back. Anything I've done, fourfold. When you experience love like that, you will never be the same. You just won't. It will change you. So tonight is simply this. As we kick off a new year, as you guys move into a new year in school, even some of you starting tomorrow, I've got to remind you that the love of God is not hanging over you, waiting on you to clean yourself up. When you find that you're loved, your life will be flipped upside down. This is how it happens. Now, I want to remind you very briefly of what happened in the garden, because this is where my mind went immediately. Do you remember what happened to Adam and Eve the moment that they ate that fruit when God told them not to? They went and hid from God. And they felt shame, right? They covered themselves up, and God comes through the garden, and he's looking, he's going, where are you guys? Why are you hiding from me? That's what happens in our lives when we feel like we have a lot of sin in our life, when we're not good enough. We begin to isolate. We feel lonely. We feel limited by a lot of things in our life, whether it's our stature, our height, or what we've done. We begin to hide from God, from fear and from shame. Now, what we learn in this story from Jesus and Zacchaeus is that God's love is relentless. It will pursue you. It will find you. And when it does, it will flip you upside down. Every time I'm in Peru, I feel this unconditional love from these people. And it messes with me every time I go there. It's the love of Christ coming out of them, flowing through them. So here's the deal. Tonight, what I would like to ask for you guys to do is I want you to think about this. If you find yourself in a place like Zacchaeus, you're tiptoeing around the outskirts of friend groups, you're isolated, maybe people are judging you, maybe people are all day long on your life, whatever it is, whatever you've done, and you're not exactly what to do. Well, I would encourage you to do something very similar to what Zacchaeus did. Get yourself in a place where you can listen and hear the voice of Jesus. Get in position and get ready to hear from Jesus. What would that look like for you, even tonight as you go home, or maybe even in small group? What would that look like for you just to position yourself in a place to go, Jesus, just open yourself up to it. Being honest and being vulnerable with God about how you're doing, how you're feeling tonight would be a great, great first start, right? And constantly reminding yourself of how much God loves you. You with me on that? I want you guys to bow your heads. I want to lead you in just a quick prayer time as we wrap up tonight. Here's a question. Do you really believe that God loves you? I want you to think about this just for a minute. Do you really believe that God loves you just as you are? Or do you still fear that he's waiting to judge you for all the times you failed him? How do our lives change when we believe that God loves us just as we are? What would change about your life, even tonight, if you chose to believe that God loves you just as you are, with an unconditional love? Father, I thank you for every student in this room tonight. Father, and just like me, God, there are moments in our life where we feel this sense of defeat, or maybe even feelings of worthlessness. So, Father, right now in these moments, I pray over these students, God, that they would experience your love, that they would know your love in a very real and a very personal way. And, God, that you would, in this series, the next few weeks, as we explore these three characters, that you would flip our lives upside down because of your goodness. Thank you for the way you interacted with Zacchaeus. Thank you for loving him, even though everybody around him thought he's not worthy and he's a sinner. You saw him, you called him by name, and you do that for us, Father. God, thank you for the love that you poured out for us on the cross. We rejoice in that love tonight, and we pray, Father, even in small group tonight, that our hearts would be stirred, we would have amazing conversation about what it would look like just to know and live like we are loved unconditionally by you. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you roll, if you don't know what group you're going to, we can help you in the back. Otherwise, with your leader, head over to the Learning Center.